So I'm going to be chanting the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, which is the second discourse given by the Buddha to the Panchavagya, the five companions that he had. And this is the discourse where the five companions get fully enlightened. So this is one of my favorite sutras, and it's quite short, but it's quite deep. I'm going to chant the Pali version first. Pali was the language the Buddha spoke. It's actually Ardhamagadhi, which nowadays is shortened to, we just call it Pali these days. So I'm going to chant the Pali version first, and then I'm going to chant the English translation after that. And the chanting book is right here on the screen, so you should be able to see what I'm chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Homage to the blessed, noble, and perfectly enlightened one. Evang me sutang, ekang samayang bhagava, Varanasiyang viharati, isipatane migadai, tatrako bhagava, panchavagye bhikkhu amante si. Rupang bhikkave anatta, rupancha hidang bhikkave atta abhavissa, naidang rupang abadaya sambattaya. Labata cha rupe evang me rupang hotu evang me rupang ma ahositi. Yasma chako bhikkave rupang anatta, tasma rupang abadaya sambattati. Nacha labati rupe evang me rupang hotu evang me rupang ma ahositi. Vedana anatta, vedana cha idang bhikkave atta abhavissa, naidang vedana abadaya sambattaya. Labata cha vedanaya evang me vedana hotu evang me vedana ma ahositi. Yasma chako bhikkave vedana anatta, tasma vedana abadaya sambattati. Nacha labati vedanaya evang me vedana hotu evang me vedana ma ahositi. Sanya anatta, sanya chahidang bhikkave atta abhavissa, naidang sanya abadaya sambattaya. Labata cha sanyaya evang me sanya hotu evang me sanya ma ahositi. Yasma chako bhikkave sanya anatta, tasma sanya abadaya sambattati. Nacha labati sanyaya evang me sanya hotu evang me sanya ma ahositi. Sankhara anatta, sankhara chaidang bhikkave atta abhavissamsu, naidang sankhara abadaya sambattayyum. Labata cha sankharesu evang me sankhara hontu evang me sankhara ma ahisanti. Yasma chako bhikkave sankhara anatta, tasma sankhara abadaya sambattanti. Nacha labati sankharesu evang me sankhara hontu evang me sankhara ma ahisanti. Vinyanang anatta, vinyanang chaidang bhikkave atta abhavissa, naidang vinyanang abadaya sambattaya. Labata cha vinyane evang me vinyanang hontu hotu evang me vinyanang ma ahositi. Yasma chako bhikkave vinyanang anatta, tasma vinyanang abadaya sambattati. Nacha labati vinyane evang me vinyanang hotu evang me vinyanang ma ahositi. Tankim manyattha bhikkave rupang nichang va anichang vati anichang bhante. Yang pananichang dukkhang vatang sukkhang vati dukkhang bhante. Yang pananichang dukkhang viparinama dhammang kallang nutang samanupassitam. Etang mama eso hamasmi eso me attati. No hetang bhante. Tam king manyattha bhikkave vedana nichava anichavati anicha bhante. Yang pananichang dukkhang vatang sukkhang vati dukkhang bhante. යං පනානිච්චං දුක්ඛං විපරිණාම ධම්මං කල්ලං නූතං සමනුපස්සිතං ඒතං මම ඒසෝ හමස්මි ඒසෝ මේ අත්තාති නොහෙතං භන්තේ තම් කිං මඤ්ඤත්ථ භික්ඛවේ සංඥානිච්චාවා අනිච්චාවාති අනිච්චා භන්තේ යං පනානිච්චං දුක්ඛං වාතං සුඛං වාති දුක්ඛං භන්තේ යං පනානිච්චං දුක්ඛං විපරිණාම ධම්මං කල්ලං නූතං සමනුපස්සිතං ඒතං මම ඒසෝ හමස්මි ඒසෝ මේ අත්තාති නොහෙතං භන්තේ තං කිං මඤ්ඤත්ථ භික්ඛවේ සංඛාරානිච්චාවා අනිච්චාවාති අනිච්චා භන්තේ යං පනානිච්චං දුක්ඛං වාතං සුඛං වාති දුක්ඛං භන්තේ යං පනානිච්චං දුක්ඛං විපරිණාම ධම්මං කල්ලං නූතං සමනුපස්සිතං ඒතං මම ඒසෝ හමස්මි ඒසෝ මේ අත්තාති නොහෙතං භන්තේ තං කිං මඤ්ඤත්ථ භික්ඛවේ විඤ්ඤාණං නිච්ඡං වා අනිච්ඡං වාති අනිච්ඡං භන්තේ යං පනානිච්ඡං දුක්ඛං වාතං සුඛං වාති දුක්ඛං භන්තේ යං පනානිච්ඡං දුක්ඛං විපරිණාම ධම්මං කල්ලං නූතං සමනුපස්සිතං ඒතං මම ඒසෝ හමස්මි ඒසෝ මේ අත්තාති නොහෙතං භන්තේ තස්මාතිහ භික්ඛවේ යං කිංචි රූපං අතීත නාගත පච්චුප්පන්නං අජ්ජත්තං වා බහිද්දා වා ඕලාරිකං වා සුකමං වා හීනං වා පනීතං වා යදුරේ සන්ති කේවා සබ්බං රූපං නේතං මම නේසෝ හමස්මි නමේසෝ අත්තාති ඒවමේතං යථා භූතං සම්මාපඤ්ඤාය දත්තබ්බං යකාචි වේදනා අතීතනාගත පච්චුප්පන්නා අජ්ජත්තා වා බහිද්දා වා ඕලාරිකා වා සුකුමා වා හීනා වා පනීතා වා යදුරේ සන්ති කේවා සබ්බා වේදනා නේතං මම නේසෝ හමස්මි නාමේසෝ අත්තාති ඒවමේතං යථා භූතං සම්මාපඤ්ඤාය දත්තබ්බං යකාචි සංඥා අතීතනාගත පච්චුප්පන්නා අජ්ජත්තා වා බහිද්දා වා ඕලාරිකා වා සුකුමා වා හීනා වා පනීතා වා යදුරේ සන්ති කේවා සබ්බා සංඥා නේතං මම නේසෝ හමස්මි නාමේසෝ අත්තාති ඒවමේතං යථා භූතං සම්මාපඤ්ඤාය දත්තබ්බං යේකේචි සංඛාරා අතීතනාගත පච්චුප්පන්නා අජ්ජත්තා වා බහිද්දා වා ඕලාරිකා වා සුකුමා වා හීනා වා පනීතා වා යදුරේ සන්ති කේවා සබ්බේ සංඛාරා නේතං මම නේසෝ හමස්මි නාමේසෝ අත්තාති ඒවමේතං යථා භූතං සම්මාපඤ්ඤාය දත්තබ්බං යකින්චි විඤ්ඤාණං අතීතනාගත පච්චුප්පන්නං අජ්ජත්තං වා බහිද්දා වා ඕලාරිකං වා සුකුමං වා හීනං වා පනීතං වා යදුරේ සන්ති කේවා සබ්බා විඤ්ඤාණං සබ්බං විඤ්ඤාණං නේතං මම නේසෝ හමස්මි නාමේසෝ අත්තාති ඒවමේතං යථා භූතං සම්මාපඤ්ඤාය දත්තබ්බං ඒවං පස්සං භික්ඛවේ සුතවා අරිය ශාවකෝ රූපස්මින් පීනෙ බින්දති වේදනායා පීනෙ බින්දති සංඥායා පීනෙ බින්දති සංඛාරේසු පීනෙ බින්දති විඤ්ඤාණස්මින් පීනෙ බින්දති නිබිදං විරජ්ජති විරාග විමුච්ඡති විමුත්තස්මින් විමුත්තං ඊති ඥානං හෝති ඛීණා ජාති වුසිතං බ්‍රහ්මචර්යං කතං කරණීයං නාපරං ඉත්තත්තායාති පජානාතිති ඉදම වෝච භගව අත්තමන පංචවග්ගියා භික්ඛු භගවතෝ භාසිතං අභිනන්දං ඉමස්මින් ච පන වෛයාකරණස්මින් භන්‍යමානේ පංචවග්ගියානං භික්ඛූනං අනුපාදාය ආසාවේහි චිත්තානි විමුච්ඡං සූති අනත්තලක්ඛන සුත්තං නිට්ඨිතං සාදු 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 Now we can hear the translation of this sutra. Thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling in Banaras in the deer park. There he addressed a group of 5 bhikkhus. Form bhikkhus is not self. If bhikkhus form were self, then form would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regard to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. But since bhikkhus, form is not self, form therefore leads to affliction. And one is not able to say in regard to form, let my form be thus, let my form not be thus. Feeling is not self. If bhikkhus, feeling were self, feeling would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regard to feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. But since bhikkhus, feeling is not self, feeling therefore leads to affliction. And one is not able to say in regard to feeling, let my feeling be thus, let my feeling not be thus. Perception is not self. If bhikkhus, perception were self, perception would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regard to perception, let my perception be thus, let my perception not be thus. But since bhikkhus, perception is not self, perception therefore leads to affliction. And one is not able to say in regard to perception, let my perception be thus, let my perception not be thus. Mental formations are not self. If bhikkhus, mental formations were self, mental formation would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regard to mental formations, may my mental formations be thus, may my mental formations not be thus. But since bhikkhus, mental formations are not self, mental formations therefore lead to affliction. And one is not able to say in regard to mental formations, let my mental formations be thus, let my mental formations not be thus. Consciousness is not self. If bhikkhus, consciousness were self, consciousness would not lead to affliction. And one might be able to say in regard to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. But since bhikkhus, consciousness is not self, consciousness therefore leads to affliction. And one is not able to say in regard to consciousness, let my consciousness be thus, let my consciousness not be thus. What do you think about this, bhikkhus? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. But that which is impermanent, is it painful or pleasurable? Painful, Lord. But is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change as this is mine, this is I, this is myself? It is not, Lord. What do you think about this, bhikkhus? Is feeling permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. But that which is impermanent, is it painful or pleasurable? Painful, Lord. But is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change as this is mine, this is I, this is myself? It is not, Lord. What do you think about this, bhikkhus? Is perception permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. But that which is impermanent, is it painful or pleasurable? Painful, Lord. Is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, subject to change as this is mine, this is I, this is myself? It is not, Lord. What do you think about this, bhikkhus? Are mental formations permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. But that which is impermanent, painful, or is it painful or pleasurable? Painful, Lord. But is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change as this is mine, this is I, this is myself? It is not, Lord. What do you think about this, bhikkhus? Is consciousness permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, Lord. But that which is impermanent, is it painful or pleasurable? Painful, Lord. Is it fit to consider that which is impermanent, painful, of a nature to change as this is mine, I am this is myself? It is not, Lord. Wherefore, bhikkhus, whatever form there is, past, present, future, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it is far or near, all forms should by means of right wisdom be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not mine, I am not this is not myself. Whatever feeling there is, past, present, future, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it is far or near, all feelings should by means of right wisdom be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not mine, I am not this is not myself. Whatever perception there is, past, present, future, internal, external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether it is far or near, all feeling, all perception should by means of right wisdom be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not mine, I am not this is not myself. Whatever mental formations there are, past, future, present, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether they are far or near, all mental formations should by means of right wisdom be seen as they really are. Thus, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. Whatever consciousness there is, past, present, future, internal or external, gross or subtle, inferior or superior, whether far or near, all consciousness should, by means of right wisdom, be seen as it really is. Thus, this is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. Seeing in this way, bhikkhus, the wise noble disciple, becomes disenchanted with form, becomes disenchanted with feeling, becomes disenchanted with perception, becomes disenchanted with mental formations, becomes disenchanted with consciousness. Becoming disenchanted, passions fade away. With the fading of passion, the heart is liberated. With liberation comes the knowledge. It is liberated. And they know, destroyed is birth. The holy life has been lived. Done is what had to be done. There is no more coming into any state of being. Thus spoke the Blessed One, delighted. The group of five bhikkhus rejoiced in what the Lord had said. Moreover, while this discourse was being delivered, the minds of the five bhikkhus were freed from all defilements through clinging no more. Thus ends the discourse on the characteristic of not self. Well said, well said, well said. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanubhavena sada sutthi bhavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba dhammanubhavena sada sutthi bhavantu te. Bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba sanghanubhavena sada sutthi bhavantu te. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. So essentially, let the body do its body thing. Let the feelings do the feeling thing. Let the memories, perceptions do a memory perception thing. Let the intention, volition do the intention, volition thing. And let consciousness do its consciousness thing. Uninvited, these five have come. Uninvited, they are doing whatever they want. They don't take our permission. They just do what they like to do. And whenever their time is done, they will fade in their own way. So let it do its own thing. Why am I getting so involved? Why am I identifying with what has been imposed on me without my permission, without my consent? Let everything unravel by itself. And who I am is not something that can be defined. It's not something that can be put into any of these five. None of these five containers has any sense, has any clue what I am. What I am is forever beyond the scope of these five. So maybe I'm not a person. Maybe I just am. Just presence, or not even that. So it's a form of inquiry. It's the most beautiful dialogue between the awakened and those thirsty for the awakening. And it's not really telling you what it is. It's inviting you to look and just check. Is it true? Does it change or does it not change? Does it listen to you or does it not listen to you? Does it lead to affliction or does it lead to ease? So beautiful. Second discourse of the Buddhas. And it took me back to the time in Sri Lanka. I was in a monastery in Sri Lanka. And I was, over a few days, I memorized this sutra. So I would walk up and down. There was a lovely pagoda or chaitya there under the trees. And I would be walking back and forth over a period of a few hours every day, and I'd memorize the sutra. So it took me back to that time doing walking meditation and memorizing. It's not that hard to memorize because it's pretty set. All the paragraphs are pretty set, except for a few minor changes here and there. So one can memorize it rather quickly. And so then I would just walk back and forth, just repeating the sutra again and again and again. Yes, so thank you, Smita, for inviting me to chant this. Would you like to share the infographic with those who are watching this recording, the one that you've made? Try. So essentially, this call is happening because Smita really loved this sutra. I chanted it at some point, and she was inspired to create this infographic, which is like a summary of the sutra. And she's called it Unzipping the Five Aggregates, the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So as I was chanting at this time, did you get any sense of which part of this is good the way it is and any changes you want to make in any part of it?
Yeah. So I agree with probably changing this, that is I, to this is I. Mm-hmm. And also here, I even like the word disenchanted.
Mm.
Maybe we can.
That's actually closer to the meaning of Nibbida. Actually, is in fact there's no exact word for Nibbida, but it's somewhere between disenchanted and actually disgusted. My teacher used to say, but people don't like to hear that, but they say that's exactly the way it is. It's literally a sense of what the hell, what kind of mess have we gotten ourselves into? We put our hand into a vat of shit, and we're thinking it smells good. You know, so that's literally the kind of my teacher said.
Wow.
That Nibbida is, you could say disenchanted, but it's somewhere in the spectrum of disenchanted and literally disgusted. But not disgusted in the sense of having aversion, actually.
Right.
It's like, you know, a kind of wariness that, you know, what is this? Yeah, what have we gotten ourselves into? It's like one day an alcoholic says, what have I been doing last 30 years? Every single day drinking a bottle. What have I been doing? That kind of wariness, what have I done to myself? That's the kind of Nibbida. You know, what have I done? I've been so caught up in the body. So caught up in feelings, so caught up in memories, perceptions, so caught up in these intentions, and so even so caught up in consciousness. And
yeah.
Oh my goodness. And that's the sense of, let me just, like you had forgotten that you were wearing a raincoat all the time. You were living your life wearing these, and five layers of raincoats.
Yeah.
And now you're taking them out. It's like, oh, it's heavy. Oh my God. One more is off. And how good would you feel to just be naked, taking out the five raincoats you've been wearing your whole life? So who are you when you unburden yourself? And the Buddha, interestingly, he doesn't tell you what you are. He tells you what you're not. So he's not making an affirmation about what you are. He's just saying, not this, not this, not this.
Yeah,
he doesn't even say, actually, even emptiness is a later on idea. The idea of emptiness also comes later on. In the original Buddhism, he doesn't even say you're empty. He doesn't even go that far. I mean, how beautiful is that? He doesn't say you're full. He doesn't say you're empty. He just says, just look at what you're not. So powerful.
Yeah, it's just brilliant.
I think you've got an algorithmic brain, isn't it?
I don't know. I suddenly when I heard it, and after that I've been thinking of it, and then when I made the one with the morning routine, and after that, I was like, I have to make this. Somehow it sort of felt I have to make this. And it just happened by itself pretty much, like the way it formed and everything happened by itself. I don't know if I can claim anything here. It was so beautiful, the whole process.
Great. And I like how you were able to, with work and kiddo and everything, you found the time to put this together like this. So why don't you clean it up the way you want to, and then share it with me. And along with this recording, I'll share your updated version of this.
Sure.
For everybody. All right. Wonderful. Feeling complete? Anything else?
No. Good.
Lovely. Just take a moment. My teacher used to say that it is rare in this world for people to be interested in these teachings and to discuss these teachings and to explore these teachings. It is rare in this world even for these teachings to be read out, whether it's in English or Pali language. And in his way of looking at things, he said, whenever you chant these sutras, and especially when you chant it in Pali, he says a lot of invisible beings gather because they're so attracted. A lot of, they call them devas or angels or whatever you want to call them. Because for them, this is the nectar, right? Yeah. Because they have all the sensory pleasure you and I can imagine. They have much better than that in their realm. But this is a nectar for them. So whenever this kind of thing is chanted or recited or discussed, then they all gather and they want to wow, listen, and they want to be with those who are practicing this way.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And one thing I sort of changed in that infographic, yeah, that's one thing I wanted to say. Like, I know it's always addressed to the monks and the question is asked of the monks, but my whole thought of when I heard this first, and it's as if a light bulb went off. So I felt like it should be addressed to whoever is reading it, like, and it would just, I thought it could just open that up to whoever is ready, I guess. Yeah.
In fact, you have to understand that these sutras, chances are he did not say bhikkhus to them, because they were not bhikkhus, you know, they were just his friend, like his companions.
Yeah.
You have to understand that in order to memorize this, they have to simplify certain things. And so it becomes formulaic. The way of chanting becomes formulaic. Even you noticed, he repeated the same thing. Chances are, when we speak, we don't speak like that. We don't say, okay, like this and like this. We're not like this. This is a way of remembering. It's an oral tradition. You have to realize. Chances are, it was a conversation. It was a much more free-flowing conversation. But then, of course, when you remember it and you try to memorize it, then you say, okay, Buddha talked about this, this, this. And then he asked this, this, this. And then he summarized this, this, this. And so then the liberation happened, this, this, this. You see, so this is how, this is a tool for memorization. Oh. So it's not like the Buddha spoke like a computer.
Right? I thought he did. I thought it's like, you know, it's deliberately done to, like,
well, it's
sort of like,
I'm sure he did repeat. Like, I also make people repeat things, and I also repeat things. But chances are he was much more organic about it. Right. But of course, when you have to go back and remember what did he say, then you'll remember, okay, he talked about these five things. He talked about how he asked us questions about these five things.
Yeah.
So chances are it was more of a conversation, much more likely than him talking like a bit of a robot, right? But then this is, but when you chant like this, there's a certain power to it when you're chanting it and you're memorizing it and you're saying it. And then that has a certain rhythm and a cadence to it. And that can lead to a certain shift inside of ourselves as well.
Yeah, it's like there's not much said. It's just like you can even summarize saying these five things and this is what it is. But just the way it is sort of structured is like really gets in. Yeah.
And it's quite beautiful because there are so many books nowadays written on Buddhism and so many traditions of Buddhism. And it is actually quite rare for people to encounter the original, like the second discourse. Most Buddhists also would not know what the second discourse is. So many people nowadays are like, yeah, I'm Buddhist. And they don't know what the second, they wouldn't know the first discourse, second discourse. And even if they knew the name of it, they may not know the content of it. And they would certainly not have heard, very, very few would have heard the Pali rendition of it, which is quite, this was very close to the way the Buddha actually himself, the language at least, the way the language that he used. So it's very close to that. So you actually, in some sense, you're getting echoes of the Buddha.
It feels like that for sure. Yeah.
So you're getting
very powerful. Yeah.
And how it has survived 2,500 years without any advanced technology. This is, it's in the consciousness of people. It has survived through the conscious. People loved it so much, they memorized it for centuries and centuries and centuries and passed it on. And in fact, there would be what's called Sanghayana. This is beautiful. Because as it went to different countries, it went to Sri Lanka, it went to Burma, it went to Thailand. And they're all doing their own practice. And every now and again, every few hundred years, someone will say, hey, wait a minute, are we doing it right? How do we know we're doing it right? Let's connect with the monks in Thailand. Let's connect with the monks in Burma and let us chant. So every few hundred years, the monks would gather together. It was a very major enterprise. Those days, there's not a flight to catch. It's a major enterprise. The king will have to sponsor you. Something will have to happen. A boat will go from one country to the other. And it's a major, major. It's not as easy as organizing a conference nowadays. You just book a conference venue. It's a major enterprise. And these monks come together and they chant. And they all have, because they're all different countries, so they all have different, slightly different styles of chanting. Pali, the Burmese chant in their own way, the Thai chant in their own way, the Sri Lankans chant in their own way. But they look past that and say, hey, how come you're saying that? We didn't have that in ours. There's a discussion. So then they decide which version do we want to keep. Do we want to keep this version or that version? But the beautiful thing about an oral tradition is, it's actually, people may not realize it, but oral tradition is far more resilient than written tradition. You see, like, they're the book. Let's say I have this book, right? Now, the publisher decides the next edition will have some changes. And right. The next edition will have some change. Now, this is gone. One time there's a change in any chapter, any book, any page, that is forever now changed. Now, we don't really know. If you lose track of the previous edition, you don't really know what that change was. Hmm. Now, in oral tradition, for example, a simple version would be happy birthday to you, right? So all over the world, someone's birthday, we all start saying happy birthday to you. And now somebody sings it in a different way, happy, happy birthday. They're not double happy, it's just happy birthday to you. And they'll immediately catch something off, right? In India, we play a game called Antakshari, where you all sing film songs. And you meet Indians from all over the world, and they somehow know these songs, right? And they start singing, and everyone knows, they all join in. Even people are meeting for the first time, because that's the power of the oral tradition. So all over the world, we've heard these songs over and over again. And so we just remember them. So when these monks gather together every few hundred years and they do Sanghayana, they chant together, then they're able to correct each other. That's not the way I heard it. And then the little discussion with the elders, which version are we keeping? We're keeping this version. So every few hundred years, how beautiful. And they again verify that, yes, this is the way we've heard it. All the sutras begin with these beautiful words, evang me sutang. Thus have I heard. How beautiful. It's an oral tradition. Which is why today also, thus have I heard. So it's not saying, we don't say this is what happened. We say, thus have I heard. My elders told it to me like this. Their elders told it to them like that. Their elders told it. It's an oral tradition. Thus have I heard. Evang me sutan. Ekang samayang bhagava. At one time, the Buddha, Varanasi and Viharti, was abiding in Banaras, in the deer park. Isi patane mikadaye. Tatrako bhagava panchavagye bhikkhu amantesi. And then he invited the five companions that he had. And then the discourse begins. And like that. In fact, this one, the chances are this second discourse was not just given in a short form. It was given over a period of days. Chances are. And four would listen, one would go to get food. Then the other four would listen, one would go to get food. That's what I've heard in the commentaries. So it's not just that he just gave it in 15 minutes and it was done. No, it went deep. And one would go to get food, the other four would stay. One would go to get food, the other four would stay. And that's how. But what we have here is now the compressed format of this. So don't feel bad if you didn't get enlightened listening to this.
Who knows? Who knows? You said we'll not know if we do, right?
Yeah, even if you know, even if you do, you know. Because the best part about being enlightened is you don't get to know. All right. Great. Have a fun day.
Great.
Nice catching up. Chalo, Smita.
Yes.
Send us the version you want to make of this. I'll share it along with us.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.